Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Back 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my website so smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Tony Uphoff. He's the CEO of ThomasNet, ThomasNet.com. Is that right, Tony?
That is correct, Jim.
ThomasNet.com. Check that out. Tony, tell us about ThomasNet.
So every second, Jim, a procurement professional or an engineer or what's called an MRO, picture somebody running a factory floor, sources a product or selects a supplier on ThomasNet.com. So it is this remarkable sourcing platform for both finished products and custom manufacturing. And then what it gives us, Jim, is also a remarkable window into the industrial economy so that when I'm have the good fortune to be on your show, we're able to share data on what's moving, what's growing, declining, shrinking, you know, expanding. And it gives us, as you know, this industrial or manufacturing economy is an early but predictive signal to the broader economy. Mm-hmm. So we serve two purposes. We're there for our customers from suppliers to work with those buyers, but we also have the ability to analyze and anonymize that data and get some signal as to where the economic trends
are
headed.
And that's one of the reasons why we love having Tony on the show, because we've got some things to talk about, Tony. One of the things that you and I've been talking about now for a while now, over a year, has been this idea of redundancy. I've been focusing on redundancy for 2 or 3 years now, about even before the pandemic exposed our lack of redundancy in the supply chain. I mean, one of the ways I always wondered for a decade, I wondered, how is Wall Street making so much money while the rest of us are languishing out here on Main Street for the lost decade of the last decade? And now we know they were going single source, grinding down their costs instead of the more expensive redundant method, right? And that's isn't that part of the supply chain problem we got right now?
It's a huge issue, Jim, and as I shared with you, a little over a year ago now, we could see in our data that people were, let's call it overstocking, or there was a sense of a bit of oversupply, and we believed it was being driven by future concerns about disruption of supply chains. You were really the first person that I remember talking to about that data that leaned into that conversation. Right. I think a lot of other people were unclear about whether that was A, happening, or B, should happen. And I made the comment to you a year ago, the CEOs of every company, and every company in the world has a supply chain, by the way. You and I are talking more about, industrial manufacturing companies, but every company has one. You know, the boards of every company should be talking to their senior management and saying, hey, how can we assure we're not going to have a supply chain disruption? And that doesn't mean you don't pay attention to finances and you overstock in every area. But you are clearly seeing, Jim, strategic oversourcing or overstocking, let me call it. And some of that is also lining up secondary and tertiary suppliers, Jim, because right. That single source, guess what happens if that single source goes down?
You're out of business. You're out of business. And Tony, I spoke with bankers last week, and I said you need to be prepared, number one, to ask your customers, your small business customers, do you have redundancy in your supply chain? Because if they're projecting revenue on products they can't get, then you can't believe their proposal. And I said, and if they have a supply, if they have redundancy, if they can show you they've got redundancy, then you need to be prepared to accept a little bit less performance from a profit standpoint, because in order to have a redundant path, you're going to have to do some business with them, and it's probably going to cost a little bit more. That's the reason why Wall Street doesn't have redundancy for the last 20 years, is because they don't want to pay the extra money for the insurance. What do you think?
Jim, you're spot on as usual. I mean, I think let's isolate that last point you made. the fact of the matter is we have been overly reliant on equities, publicly traded companies.
Right.
And we've kind of, you know, the tail's been wagging the dog on that, because obviously profit growth is what drives Wall Street, or the promise of profit growth. And as you look at that kind of dynamic, it encourages, in some cases, not all, but it encourages some bad behaviors. Boy, I know I should have a second source for that, but man, that's going to cost me money and my quarterly results aren't going to work good. Let's not do that right now. And I'm oversimplifying it, Jim, but if you think about decades of that kind of behavior, that's what we see happening. So the equity market in aggregate looks spectacular. But when you climb up underneath it, it's damaged some of these companies who simply have made very short-term and poor decisions,
especially
about the longevity of their business.
Especially when they became more devoted to China.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you start to add in globalization to that, Jim, to your point. Now, suddenly, it is really crazy. I think if there's good news we're pulling out of this, is this reimagining of the supply chain. Some of it forced, if not a lot of it, Jim, some of it strategic, is helping companies realize, gosh, a lot of the assumptions I made 20 years ago about the cost of manufacturing in China or in Vietnam versus local, let me call local North America or closer to home, now suddenly you re-look at those costs and you realize your calculations are to your favor now of reshoring. That's why you see so much reshoring happening right now. Also, if I localize manufacturing near clusters of customers, which is
and on top of energy,
much more available today.
And on top
of
energy.
You've been preaching the energy thing.
That's right.
You've been on that, Jim, and I think you're spot on with that one as well.
Sit on top of the energy. It doesn't ever have to see the light of day because it comes right in your pipes. You can do that in America. We'll take a quick break and we come back. There's a couple of policies that Tony's going to report on that have a direct connection to what I'm calling hemispherization, not globalization, hemispherization. Sure, it'd be great if they'd make it in America, but if it's just in this hemisphere, I'll be happy with that.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.